Cover with me to Ephesians 6, and we'll try to make this short and sweet and to the point rather than long, drawn out, and not to the point. So Ephesians 6 with me real quick this morning. We're going to talk about victory in Jesus. We've been down through the armor. We've been down through this passage. We've been down through the plan A and plan B. And as Dad was saying last night, we're going home. And how to have 51 weeks of this week, and not 51 weeks of belly flopping, and not, you know, and all that, but just how to I have something in my eye now. How to have victory in Jesus for 51 weeks. Notice Ephesians 6 verse 10 again. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Verse 11. Put on. When we were looking in trying to get ready to teach the teens as well as teaching everybody else, the putting on, you have to access the armor. You've got to put it on. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings. We're blessed. We're complete in Him. We're forgiven. We understand all that. But the armor, you've got to put it on. Otherwise, it'll sit in a closet and it'll just sit there. Now, notice verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Look over in chapter 1 and notice the issue here of the power of His might. You got chapter 1. We have victory in Jesus. We've seen the armor. We've seen the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the feet shod with the gospel of peace, the issue of the shield of faith, the issue of the helmet of salvation, the issues of the sword, the issue of prayer, just communing with God. You know, the thing about prayer, we up in Seattle, we did a whole conference about it, and it really is just simply talking to God. You don't realize it, but you pray more than you think you do because you're talking to God. You just don't label it prayer. You know, everybody thinks prayer is sitting quietly, their eyes closed and a posture. And really, you pray all the time. Anytime you talk to the Lord, you're praying. You're talking to Him. And in the warfare, prayer is like the communication center. And, you know, you're communicating and you're praying. But notice in verse number 15, Paul prays here for the Ephesians. And he says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Now notice verse 19. And not only does he want them to know some stuff about the hope of his calling and the inheritance and his riches, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. 6:10 said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power, the might of his power. Did I say that right? Power of his might. Now we've got his mighty power. Now in verse 20, he tells you what that mighty power is. Okay? The mighty power at which he wrought. Now that word wrought means fashioned. Put it on display. He wrought in Christ when he did what? When he raised him from the dead. Not only does he raised him from the dead and did what? Set him at his own right hand where? In heavenly places. Where is our home? Heavenly places. Where is our identity? In Christ. How do we know that we have victory in this warfare because of what? We're in Christ. We have our identity in Christ. But what is the one event about Christ that Christ accomplished that says, you know what? No matter what comes, we have victory. It's in verse 20. He raised him from the dead. Resurrection. Your victory in Jesus, victory in this battle, isn't you fighting it. You know, yesterday at the pool, all the kids are jumping off, bam, you know. And then I get up to do what I'm supposed to do, and everybody goes nuts. And then I went and just jumped in. Okay? But you get up there and you go to do something, and you want to do it well, don't you? Except for the belly flopping, we'll figure that one out next year. But when in this battle, who's working in you? He is. It's about Him. It's not about you. See, that you will have victory in the battle when you remember who you are in Christ. The issue of identification is this issue about in victory is in the issue of His resurrection. Look over with me at Philippians. Paul says this in Philippians here, and it's quite interesting how he says it here in Philippians. This issue about the resurrection. See, there's only one place where you're going to have victory over the adversary. There's only one place where you're going to have complete and total victory in the spiritual warfare, and it's something that was done for us, not us doing it. And what was done for us was what? Our sins were forgiven, and we have resurrection life. Look at Philippians chapter 3. And look at what Paul says here in Philippians 3. Starting in verse number 4. Verse number 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in what? The flesh. No confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Paul had it. He is what? Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrew, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is the law, blameless. Paul had it. And when he's talking about glorying in the flesh there, he's not talking about living out in the world, he's talking about religion. And he's talking about over here in this program. And Paul says, hey, if we want to line up our religious acts, let's do it. Because I've got you beat. But notice verse 7. But, I love that word. But, what things were gained to me, those I counted, what? Lost for Christ. What did Paul begin to realize? They were worthless. What's the next verse say? Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win... Who?
Christ.
When you win in the spiritual warfare, who do you win?
Christ.
You win Christ. Because when you're winning in the spiritual warfare, who's on display?
Christ.
When you're putting on the pieces of the armor and you're learning and you're getting the doctrine in your inner man and it begins to work out in you, who is on display?
Christ.
Over in 1 Corinthians. Make it 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians, hold on to Philippians, we'll come right back there to it. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Verse number 8. Here's Paul, verse number 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You see, the strength in your life isn't in you, it's in Him. Verse 8. But we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. You think he was having it easy? Not at all. He's under some physical ailments. Over in chapter 11, he says, perils and off and this. He's just getting beat up. But notice verse 10. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the what?
Life.
Life also of Jesus. So whose life?
Jesus'
life. Might be made manifest where?
In our body.
For we which live are always delivered unto the death for Jesus' sake, but that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. You see, when you're fighting and you've got troubles, who are we to manifest?
Christ.
We have victory in Christ. Now, why we have victory? Go back to Philippians 3. And where we have victory in Christ is because of what He accomplished at the cross. On the cross. On the cross, what did He do? He paid... You got Philippians 3. Go back to Romans 4. Hold on to Philippians. I'm sorry. Romans 4. Sometimes you get in the habit of telling you what the verse says instead of reading the verse. And sometimes you need to read the verse. Romans 4, verse number 25. Verse 23. Now it was not written for His sake alone that it was imputed to Him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. You see, on the cross, two things happened. Number one, He paid for your sin. He paid for the sin. For the wages of sin is death. He died it. And then on the second one, the second issue is when He was raised again for our justification. That's a paid in full. Think about this. When Christ died on the cross, had He not paid for all of sin, He couldn't have what? Raised. For the wages of sin is death. Death would have held Him. But death didn't hold Him, did He? You know, we sing the song, Up from the Grave He Arose. Why? Because He paid the penalty. He paid for it completely. And the first part, you have the finality of the payment of sin, and then you have this issue of victory. And you have this issue of the reality of life in Christ. Because now we have a victory program. Now we have and it's resident in His resurrection. Look back in Philippians 3. Notice verse number 9. And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, that the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Notice what Paul says here. He goes, man, we got all this stuff. Christ died for it. He paid for it. But I want to know what? The power of His resurrection. Because in resurrection there is what? Life. And in the victory program that God has set up for the body of Christ, the victory program is in life. It's in life in Christ. It's in His resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the paid in full receipt on the sin issue, and then and then life when you live it. Look over with me at Romans chapter 6. You can let Ephesians go. Romans chapter number 6. See, the cobwebs are coming out now, you know. You're waking up. Romans chapter 6. Notice with me at verse number 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore, because we're identified totally and completely with His death, burial, and resurrection, therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also what? Should walk in the newness of life. You see, you should be doing this. Now look at the next verse, 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. What's the hope? The resurrection life. You get justified, you learn about your sanctification, and then you learn about glorification. And what are you waiting for? Glorification. You know, and we've seen that. And all week here, we've seen different pieces of the armor to fight the spiritual warfare. And Paul says, look, Because of who you are in Christ, you have a complete, total victory program. Because the one thing that the devil couldn't do is what he can't do to you. He couldn't keep Christ from being resurrected. Guess what he can't do to you? He can't keep you from being resurrected either. Why? Because we're in Christ. Now look over at Colossians, just with me in Colossians 2. Colossians 2. Notice, if you will, down here in verse number 9. Colossians 2:9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. And everybody says, amen, right on. In whom we... let's just drop down to verse number 13. Verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with you, having forgiven you how many trespasses? All trespasses. So we're complete in him, we're accepted in the beloved, we're completely forgiven. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, where's our warfare? In the spiritual wickedness? Notice up in that verse it talks about the operation of God. You know, a desert storm, and you got the operation going on. Now that's God doing stuff for you, but what has he done for you? He's given you victory. Now finish the verse, 14. Verse 15, he made a show of them. Who's the them? The principalities and powers. What does he do with them? He shows them openly. He didn't do it over in the corner. He did it for the whole universe to see. He did what? He triumphed over them in it. In what? In the cross. You see, Jesus Christ had a victory God the Father had a victory program for his son. It's resurrection. And when Jesus Christ raised from the dead, Satan, he thought he had won. And when he saw that, he lost. And it wasn't done in the corner, it was done openly. So here we are today, 2006. We're rejoicing in who we are in Christ. We're putting on the armor. And you know what Satan is reminded of constantly? The cross. And do you think he likes it? No. Why? Because there was victory at the cross, and guess where there is today for us? Victory. Victory where? In Jesus Christ. Now look at 1 Corinthians 15. Notice verse 20. I just want a couple verses and then we'll be done, okay? Because we got to get going. But I want you to understand that we have this warfare going on, but the end result is victory. Okay? you go back to life in about an hour or two or six. Actually, in an hour, because as soon as we get on the freeway, guess where we're at? In life. Dad, I got to use the bathroom. How long? Why? Yeah, there you go. At least they were listening last night, Dad.
That's the adult.
Yeah. We have this warfare, but in the end, it's victory.
Amen.
Look at verse 15:20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made what?
Alive.
You've got it. Look at the end of chapter 15. And this is the passage, I don't know if you have one, but 57 and 58. But go back up verse 54. Verse 51, he says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." He's talking about the rapture and the changing and the new body and so forth in the events there. So when this corruptible, notice that, so when this happens, when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, what? Death is swallowed up in what?
Victory.
O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we're in a warfare. We put that armor on. And Paul says, put on. He doesn't say it's already on you. You got to put it on. You have some blessings given to you front-loaded. You got them the moment you're saved. You have to access them. You got to learn about them. You got to apply them. You got to pick the shield up and the sword and the helmet. And when you do that, you have victory. Because what happens to you, it's not I, but it's Christ. And the victory in Jesus Christ, where that victory comes from, and why we have victory over our adversary. Paul says to the Philippians, you're terrified by your adversaries. We can have victory over the adversary and the attacks by simply applying the doctrine that we've built up in our inner man. We can access it, we can put it on, and we have victory. Because up from the grave, he arose. And death couldn't hold him. Over there in Revelation, one of the last things that's destroyed is death. He accomplished that already back. He defeated death. And he says, here, it's just a gift to you. And all you have to do is accept it. All you have to do is believe it. All you have to do is apply it to your life. So when you're in the struggles and you're going, okay, there's some armor, just remember you already have victory.
Amen.
And it's in Christ. The armor, the doctrine, you put it on, you access it. And back in Ephesians 6 there, verse number 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put it on. Access it and rejoice in who you are in Christ. And remember that you have victory, even when you don't think you do. So, we'll go home and we'll go have some victory. Okay? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the morning, Lord. We thank You for Your Word. And above all, Lord, we thank You for the fellowship that we can have with one another in Your Son. For the mercy and for the long-suffering that You've bestowed upon us and given to us in another day of grace. And we'll just give You the praise and the glory. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.